Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Rowdy's family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. My name is Matthew Cox, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Wilcox, and for the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the most recent results. Well, I don't know how much we're going to talk about the most recent results. One of them I don't really want to talk about at all, and the other one there's not a whole lot to talk about, but we're going to do our best. We're going to talk about some news, and we're going to preview, well, I don't know how much we're going to preview this week's match. It's freaking Loudoun United. Ben, first off, how you doing? How's it going? It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you as well, man, and thanks. Yeah, no, I'm doing really good. I mean, you know, some personal things aside, I would say all in all, things have gone really well for me. Baseball season ramping up here with playoffs, so we've got a billion things going on at the stadium.
So has baseball been very, very good to you?
Very, very good. Very, very good.
Very good.
It has been good to me. It's just super busy, you know. So lots happening. My cat is still insane. If you hear him pacing around my bedroom, it's because he has a new toy, because I'm a good dad, and I bought him new toys, and he's psycho about all of them.
I mean, it is National Sons Day, so you know you got your one son, and now you got the other son.
That's right. I've got the older, smellier one, and the little furry one here. So you know,
who will also be smelly from time to time.
Yeah. So you know, life is good. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, life is good. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I can't complain much. You know, how about you, man? How you been?
I have been excellent. Again, like you mentioned, other than some personal things, having to spend too much money on air conditioner repairs, there were too many digits in front of the decimal point for my liking, but it needed to be done. But I'm great, and I gotta do a little shout out first, Ben. I gotta give you a shout out for hooking me up with Rays tickets for last Saturday. Went up there, and I brought a special person with me. On Saturday.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's early days, but it's very nice. Came up there and went to the Rays game. We were sitting there kind of right in the outfield near the touch tank. We did the touch tank experience. You know, we kind of hung around St. Pete before the game. Just great time. And decided, you know, we did the whole Sunrunner thing from we parked at Outlang and did the Sunrunner up to the Trop and got our replica statues, which are very cool. I didn't get to go see the actual ones. I want to go see that sometime because that seems like that seems pretty cool. I like that they're doing that. And it was 5-0 Rays. We saw it with like 3 home runs in the first 3 innings. Yandy Diaz starts with a leadoff home run bottom of the first, but just had a great time. We're up 5-0. We're like, hey, let's head down to Outlang and tailgate a little bit before the game starts. By the time we get to Al Lang, it's 5-4, and I'm like, uh-oh. Is it our fault? Is it because we left early? But had a great time at Al Lang. Rays end up winning the game, walk-off 7-6. went to the game, which was my companion's very first game, and despite the result, she had an excellent time and is planning on coming back for many more, although not this weekend because she's in Utah for work right now.
That's fair. We'll give her a pass.
But it was great. If you guys are looking to do the doubleheader, was incredible. Honestly, that Sunrunner thing, I know they're going to start charging fares for it in October, I guess actually a couple of days now. I would have gladly paid for that because it is quick. It is simple. The buses are fast getting to the stations, getting you where you need to go. I told you, I think we went from the Trop to Al Lang in under 10 minutes. And it was just a quick walk from the other side of the Hilton over to the parking lot, walked right up to the tailgate and just had a blast, man. It was a great day. Hopefully one day it'll be like a 1 o'clock first pitch where you can catch the whole game before heading over. But, man, I would definitely recommend that.
Excellent. Yeah. I've wanted to use that Sunrunner. I know a number of people that have used it and they always speak really highly of it. So I'm glad that you had a great experience with it. I'm glad I was able to hook you up with the tickets. Yeah, man. Just I'm glad it worked out for you. Glad it was a good day, you know, and all. Minus the final result of the second.
Well, the result, but other than that, a very good day. I quite enjoyed the afternoon and the evening. Good. Yeah. So we don't want to talk a whole lot about it. It's the whole reason. It's Thursday night. We decided to wait until Thursday night to record this week's show because we were hoping for some good news last night to wash the taste out of our mouth from last weekend, and overall kind of got that, maybe a little not so great stuff in there too, but that's all right. Anyway, last Saturday, Cal Jennings gets two goals closer to my prediction of 20. He's now sitting at, I believe, 16 for the season with three games left. Cal Jennings gets two goals in the first half, but the Rowdies concede a hat trick to Rodrigo Da Costa, and then a fourth goal to Carriaga, and slip, stumble, fall to a 4-2 defeat at Memphis. And, you know, I don't know that anything could have been done differently in this one. You know, Nicky Law still wasn't back at that point. He was back in time for the midweek game. To me, literally, it's a situation of way too many injuries catching up to this team against a quality opponent. You could go with a lineup like that against Hartford and still reasonably expect to win. Memphis was an entirely different situation. You know, they're one of the top four teams in the conference right now. They're most likely going to have a home playoff game to start out. You know, we dropped both games to Memphis this year, and that kind of stinks. But you know, they've got good coaching, they've got good players, and it's going to happen. You know, it was kind of a big bump in the road for the hopes of the Rowdies catching and hauling back Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's going to be possible now. But you know, it is what it is. It's over with, and the goal is, and again, you know, more players getting hurt in that game. So I don't know, man. It's just the injuries this year are crazy. At least, you know, we kind of went, you know, had a little bit in the beginning, and just it's every game now, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what's caught you. No, it's not, you know, we didn't have a huge Open Cup run. It's not that we don't have a ton of fixture congestion, although we are kind of. I mean, technically, we're caught up right now with the games in hand on all the other teams. We're all sitting on 31 games played now.
It's not like we were, like, stacked up with a bunch of games back-to-back-to-back. I mean, that would have – you would have said, yeah, okay, this makes sense. Like, I mean, I get it. But I'm with you, man. I mean, it's just we've had injuries every year, but it just – the injuries we've gotten this year just – I mean, there's players that are on the injury list that I forgot about because we got them and they got injured right away, and I kind of forgot we had them. I mean, it just – It's just one of those years where you got to throw your hands up and just say, you know, you do the best of what you got.
And this would almost be understandable if they were still training at USF St. Pete and playing on, you know, Al Lang that was still had a baseball field underneath it. But they've got top notch facilities. You've been out the training facility. I've been out there a couple times. We know it's a great place. We know it's in good condition. We know it's a good surface to work on. Yep. I don't know what's behind it this year, but man, the injuries are insane. you can look at this and say, man, it's, you know, because we briefly dropped down to third after the loss on Saturday before climbing back in the second last night. You know, you can look at it and say it's a wasted opportunity because we're getting into first is going to be almost impossible at this point. Yeah. You can also look at it and say it's incredible that we're in second right now just based off of this.
Yep. Well, what was it? And I think we might have talked about this before, but Jim Morrissey had posted about the fact that, you know, you could take all the injured players that we have right now and take four guys off the street and make a run of the championship right now because of the quality of the guys that aren't playing. And he's absolutely right. Take the injured
guys, and you and I could be two of those four players.
Oh, God, that's like negative two, three players right there, I think, combined.
You can bring your cat, and I'll bring my cat, and I think we've got a good chance of winning.
He likes to chase things.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
I just speaking of bringing cats and animals onto the pitch, and maybe it's something to keep an eye on this weekend at the game since it's Bring Your Dog to the Park game. But I reposted on my Instagram story today. There was from ESPN FC was a Mexican League game had to be stopped when a dog got on the field,
yep,
and took the ball and would not give it back. And I was like, you know what? Let the dog have it. There, man. That I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't want to see it happen
this
weekend, but I love that that kind of stuff.
It's wholesome. I mean, come on, who doesn't love dogs and loves, you know? See, I mean, come on, it's good nature. It's good fun. It seemed like all the players and everyone on the field took it pretty well, all things considered.
To be fair, the dog could probably score in loud. So
this is true. This is true. And something I wanted to say within regards to the Memphis game. I mean, you got to remember, we scored, 16 minutes in with JJ, yeah, and then it got called back for a garbage, what was it, interference or whatever? I mean, that was the most awful call I've ever seen. I mean, literally, the keeper comes forward into JJ to try and get it, and JJ obviously wins the ball, and it goes in the back. I mean, how can you call that back? Part of me feels like if that goal gets counted, I feel like this game goes differently, but it just – that set a precedent for how this whole game went because I think we hit the crossbar like twice. I mean, we definitely had great opportunities.
The crossbar that night. It was
on top of that. Look, their first and third goal, we gave the ball over. I mean, we just gave it over. I mean, Jan Ecker, who I love to death. I love Jan. One of my favorite, just separate soccer from everything. Just a wonderful guy, you know, and such a great person, but man, he handed the ball over to Da Costa, who buried, I mean, quite frankly, just an absolute gem of a goal. I mean, that was a beautiful shot. Yeah. I mean, and look, these games are going to happen. And you alluded to it. I mean, look, we with all the injuries, people playing out of position, people are out of sync with one another, that's going to happen. And it was bound to happen. I hate that it happened against Memphis. But you know what? At the same time, look, that game was going to happen. And
yeah, and they're a team that's tied too. Like they're in fourth on a tiebreaker. They're level on points with Louisville. They want that home playoff game because that's going to be their best chance to push on. I do want to update my other highlight of the game. I don't know if you can see it. I'm going to try and hold it up here, or if you've seen these before. Lizzie made these. I guess they're Taylor Swift style something. Rowdy's bracelets. Been wearing mine ever since then. So has my good friend out in Utah. He sends me a picture of it every day. Nice. I was keeping her up to date on the game last night with the score and everything. And it's funny because if you look at this game statistically, it's a lot more even than the Hartford game from last night. Rowdy's and Memphis tied 12 on shots. Rowdy's 6 shots on target. Memphis with 8. Possession was 53-47 for the Rowdy's. Passes were 383 to 357. Pass accuracy 80 to 79%. Extremely even is not reflected on the scoreboard. Rowdy's had chances, had opportunities, like you said, hit the crossbar, had some questionable calls from the officials, and then, you know, playing kind of a weakened lineup with about, you know, 3 guys on the bench, and you know, near the end of the season fatigue, a lot of stuff piled up. You know, you go back, you talk about it for a few minutes, and you move on to the next one, which is what they did. Like, honestly, that Hartford game last night was probably the best thing for them because they didn't have time to sit around and think about this one too much. They had to get ready. I think they had, like, 1 day of training, turned around, and went to Hartford, where last night, in a bizarre game. Just bizarre.
Well, hold on. Before we step away from Memphis, and we do have to do this. Well, yeah. I was going to say, it was a certain somebody's 100th game, and I'm so bummed that we couldn't get him to win, because the guy is just an absolute, you know, monster on the field and so important to what we do. Jordan Doherty hits his 100th game and just an absolute Iron Man, a future Rowdies legend, just a wonderful guy, and just a guy who's selfless, does everything that is asked, the team asks him to do, and does it at an extremely high level, you know. So it was his 100th game. That was big. And I you know, I saw the Mob did their TIFO for him, which is great. You know, I mean, he's a good guy all around. I just, super bummed we couldn't get him the win, but I mean, what an awesome honor, you know, to have that guy, join that 100 club.
Man of the match.
Yeah, I think I already gave it away. It's Jordan Doherty. It's got to be Jordan. I mean, I think there's some other honorable mentions in there. I think they're that are worthy of it. But yeah, I think for the fact that it's his 100th game and the guy it means so much to this club, it's got to be Jordan Doherty.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to Cal for the goals. I swear he's going to get the 20 this year, and honestly, I'm going to be so happy for him.
And look, we've got three games to get four goals. And the way that he's scoring with who's coming up, I mean,
right?
You might be on this one. You might be on to something. It's entirely plausible.
He might pull this weekend, and I'm going to miss it because I'm not going to be there. I'll be watching. All right. So Rowdies turn around, head up to Hartford last night for the return match with Hartford Athletic. I did like someone joked around about how the Rowdy should ask to postpone the game because we were so shorthanded, undermanned, and everything else. No, we'll just go up there and make them beat themselves, technically on paper. Rowdies win 2-0 on two first half own goals, is the way they went down in the record books, one in the 16th minute, one in the 26th minute. However, both own goals created by Rowdy's pressure, by Rowdy's attacks. The first one is a long distance shot by Lewis Hilton, playing in his 100th game for the Rowdies.
Yes, sir.
It goes off the post and then off the back of the keeper and into the goal. Look, you can write that up, and you and I talked about this. Write that up however you want. That's a Lewis Hilton goal. The keeper 100%. Did not know the ball was there. I don't care what the rules say. Like, it's, you know, it's not like he mishandled it or it was a bad back pass or something. It was created directly by Lewis. Like, the keeper was in the position he was because he was trying to stop the initial shot.
His momentum carried him forward. I mean,
That's a Lewis Hilton goal. The second one, 10 minutes later, shot by Cal Jennings is cleaned up, saved, and but not secured. Ball gets loose, and that one, there's more of a call for that being an own goal. I don't mind that one as much, but you know, give.
No, it was definitely an own goal. But what was the defender doing? You can't see from any of the replays how tight it really was with JJ right there, but you got to think that he had enough room to be able to put. It's almost like he freaked out, and just, you know, swatted the ball super fast to try and get a foot to it before JJ could. Because look, if that guy's not there, that's a JJ goal, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. To your point, how we created these goals. I mean, this is 100% because we did the right thing and we're in the right place.
Yeah, it's not like we were standing around and just they kicked the ball around and somehow it ended up in their net. Like these were direct in. So, you know, and that we've talked about a million times, like, put a shot on target, see what happens. It's the hockey style. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe you get a weird deflection like Lewis Hilton did. Maybe you get a weird turn of events based off the Cal and JJ stuff. Statistically, 16 shots for Hartford, 7 for the Rowdies.
Really?
Four on target for Hartford, 2 on target for the Rowdies. I love the Rowdies had 2 shots on target and 2 goals, but it wasn't from any of their shots on target. Possession 52-48 for Hartford. Passes were 508 to 498 for Hartford. Pass accuracy 84% to 82%. And then the rest is just fouls and cards and stuff. Just in terms of shots, a little bit more. But, you know, I'm willing to bet if you go back and count, a lot of that's coming after Hartford's down 2-0 on own goals, and they are, you know, they're eliminated. They're out of the playoffs. They've got really nothing left to play for except pride at this point.
Pride and contracts.
But when you're all the way at the bottom, I don't know how much, you know, like they said, again, going back to Pulp Fiction, that's just pride messing with you there. Mm-hmm. So would have been nice to have gotten, you know, 4 points. Would have been great to get 6 points, but we got 3 points. We're technically still in it, but it's going to be a rough road to go for the Rowdies to get into first place.
Yeah, I mean, look, to the Hartford game, I mean, look, I thought they were going to go for the hat trick of own goals. I mean, it definitely looked like it was going to happen. There was a few in there where, I mean, it definitely seemed like it was going to happen.
Like, you know, but one, you just start taking shots from wherever just to see what happens for fun at that point.
And doesn't it seem like, and I know, we've heard about this before, and I think you guys even talked about it last year. I think Steven brought it up a couple times, and I think you did as well, but it's like, Neil didn't coach that way. He didn't coach to take the shot from outside. He wanted it to be built into the box and take your opportunities, like the high percentage or chances.
Yeah.
But it does seem like since Nicky Law has come in, does it not feel like we're taking more of those opportunities? Does it not feel like there's more? And maybe it's just because we've scored off of them, but it feels like they're happening more often now.
There still was, because I was kind of watching this at the Memphis game. Because especially, you know, once you go down 3-2 and then 4-2, everyone in the stands is desperate to try and get something going.
Right.
There still is a lot of working the ball around, trying to get to the open play or free somebody up for a cross or something like that, or deliver a cross in. And I would say right now, if you don't have Forrest Lasso on out there, in, you know, to get up in the box to try and get on these crosses, I mean, he's your main weapon in that situation. You've got other guys, but I mean, that's your height right there. I may not be playing it. They may be playing differently now. It may just be a result of what players are available. However, I do want to say that I did witness, and I think he ends up coming off injured, also in this game. Wasn't it Dayon that came off in the Memphis game?
Got a
little banged up like first half. But however, I did see before that happened, I did see Dayon Harris win an aerial challenge. And yep. No offense to Dayon Harris, because he is a fantastic player, but you don't even have to say who he was going up against, because no matter who Dayon Harris is matched up against in a situation like that, he is the shorter guy, and he got up there for a clearance and cleared it out. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, LaCava came on for him in the 28th minute.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, no, you gotta love it when the little guy is getting up there and getting the ball. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, unless he's going up against like a Lewis Hilton type, you don't think he's ever going to win that one, you know?
No, and I think it was a pretty tall guy for Memphis that he got up against. I have to go back and watch it, but
I mean, Dan's also super athletic. I mean,
yeah. The man got up there. He got
that's something. I mean, like, he's a smart player, but I mean, he's also super athletic.
Kind of remind me a little bit of the style, the mentality of Caleb Richards, who wasn't always the biggest guy when
good
we had
show.
Him on from Norwich, but had some skills, especially in the dark arts in his tank. I remember watching him go one time up for a header, comes down the other player, and I don't remember who the. I want to say it was Pittsburgh or whatever, but all of a sudden the Pittsburgh guy has a couple inches on him, but all of a sudden crumples to the ground and just gets up and looks at Caleb like, what did you do? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I guarantee you he pulled him down, something like that. He got in there and he would fight for it.
He was physical. I really liked Caleb. Yeah. I missed him on that back. I mean, I'm happy with the guys we have, but Caleb was a lot of fun to watch.
I kept kind of hoping, and we're going off in tangents, which is what we do. So, you know, bear with us.
Deal with it, people.
What Norwich let him go, and he's I don't know where he is right now, but I know he was bouncing around. I think he even dropped down to like League One or League Two when Norwich was up in the championship. And I was like, man, take the hint from everybody else that's come over here and gone back and played in the lower divisions. Just come back to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, just, man, for real.
Head on back. It's going to be better for us, better for you in the long run. So, just go for it is what I would say.
He is Where is he? You got me thinking, so I had to look it up.
Look around. Well, while you're doing that, we'll go ahead and use, because I know how you're going to
do it. Kidderminster Harrier? I don't know what that is.
I've heard that. Yeah, but you know, yeah, how is this not a better option at some point?
Well, look, Jordan Doherty goes away and arguably comes back. Like, he left a boy. He came back a man. I mean, Christ's sake, like, Jordan Doherty is a monster on the field. Like, Jordan Doherty against anybody he's going against, I'm betting on Jordan every single time.
And you know, Jordan went back to, like, the top division in Ireland. The second division, wasn't it? Anyway, there. And that's, you know, it's different than the lower leagues in England or whatever. But, I mean, I feel like at this point, if you're dedicating yourself to playing in the lower leagues in England, you're just trying to get a guest spot on Welcome to Wrexham.
Fair.
Like, that's it. Like, maybe you get noticed that way. Just come back. Just come back, Caleb. So, man of the match for this one. He was the Centurion, is what I started calling these guys when they get their 100th appearance. He was the cat. I thought it was really cool how both guys got the armband on the night of their 100th game.
I didn't even notice it. That's a good shout, yeah.
Yeah, and my first thought was, oh, yeah, that's really cool. And then secondhand, I was like, well, you know, everyone else is injured, so maybe this is just legitimately how it goes to begin with. Both guy gets it. I'm giving Lewis Hilton that goal, and therefore I am giving him man of the match last night against Hartford. Ben, I don't think you're going to disagree with me.
Not at all. I think you're 100% spot on. I think it's well-deserved. I mean, that guy is an absolute Iron Man, and I mean, on and off the field, he's just top class. I mean, you can't. I don't care what we do. Lewis Hilton, we go where Lewis Hilton goes. I mean, that's just as simple as that. I mean, he's just.
I thought it was really cool. Dan and Casey were at the game last night in Hartford. Yep. I saw photos. I saw there were signs. I know Mike Janofsky was up there. Also, I was talking to him at Memphis, and he said he was going up for the game, and he was going to be there for that. So it was kind of cool. If you're going to get your 100th cap away from home, that you've got some of your fans. Like, you know, Casey has this homemade Lewis Hilton T-shirt she was wearing. Like, that's kind of cool to get be able to do that for those guys. So, you know, got 3 points out of two games. Slightly worrying, like we said, Deion Harris subbed off, 2/3 of the way through the first half. Lewis Hilton subbed off at halftime. Some people noticed that after, you know, that shot was in the 16th minute. He did play out the rest of the half, but some people said he seemed to be limping, looked like he'd picked up a knock or something. You know, hopefully it's precautionary because, you know, he's been dealing with injury stuff this year, and maybe they just said, you know, it's Hartford. We'll figure out a way. We need you for Pittsburgh. We need you for Louisville. Let's, you know. It wouldn't even surprise me if he gets a rest on Saturday, honestly.
I would much rather that happen, honestly.
Especially depending on what guys we may or may not be coming back. Whether or not we secretly signed Asamoah and Guyon before the roster freeze and throw them out
there. I'm sure we can make that paperwork work, right? I mean, I'm sure we can find a way to hey, like, sorry. You know what? Here I post it. I forgot to send it in. My bad.
Yeah. We didn't join the league with the headquarters that was across the bay from us for no reason. So let's make this
exactly. Focus. Hey, look, if they can't get some home team advantage there, I mean, come on now, I mean, there's got to be something.
What even is the point? All right, so we've talked about standings a little bit. Let's get into them. Pittsburgh. So right now, everybody except Hartford, who doesn't matter, has played 31 games. Hartford plays 30. I don't know if they had one that had to be rescheduled for weather or something. Maybe they just even skip it at this point. Pittsburgh is in first with 60 points. Rowdies, 3 points back in second at 57. 1 point ahead of Charleston in third with 56. Memphis is currently sitting in the fourth position via tiebreaker at 49 points. Louisville in fifth, also with 49 points. I want to talk about tiebreakers in a second, too. Remind me to come back to that. Indy 11 in a playoff spot at 42 points. Birmingham Legion with 40 in seventh. Detroit City 37. Tulsa with 36. They are the team looking in. Miami 35. Like, they're still hanging around. Loudoun, Hartford have been eliminated from playoff contention. Loudoun with 25 points. Hartford with 16. So, Look at the tiebreakers, and I can pull up the list here. Here's the official list from USL, and you know maybe this ends up coming into play based on results that we have. The number one tiebreaker, which most places are around the world, I think, is just your goal difference. Number one tiebreaker in USL is head-to-head points earned in regular season games. So, for example, if we were to beat Pittsburgh on next weekend and we go into a tie with them, then it would go to the second tiebreaker because we lost in Pittsburgh and then we would have won here. The second tiebreaker is goal differential in head-to-head matches. Okay. Third, points per game versus in-conference opponents in regular season league games. Now, I'm not a math person. Maybe other people can calculate that easier in their head. But if I have to start getting a calculator out for things, maybe that shouldn't be the third tiebreaker, just my opinion. Four is total wins in regular season games. For me, that should be the first tiebreaker. Because right now you've got Charleston and – no, we're saying Memphis and Louisville. 31 games, 49 points apiece. Louisville actually has 14 wins compared to Memphis's 13, but Memphis has three more draws and two less losses. To me, overall, like if I look at this, I would expect to see Louisville in that spot based off of overall wins. I think that should be your number one tiebreaker, in my opinion. Your next one should probably be, and this doesn't come until fifth on the USL list, goal differential in regular season games. So your overall goal difference. To me, that should be the second tiebreaker. Like, you want to use head-to-head stuff? I think that's got to come after your overall wins, your overall goal difference. Then you can look at,
if you're still head-to-head, then you can do head-to-head.
And, you know, it probably makes more sense because the way they have it set up when you're looking at it, because you're talking about if you're in a tie with a particular team, then what's your record against them overall. I get it. But to me, this should be based off your overall performance for the season if you're deciding like the first or second spot in the conference table or something like that. Then you end up with goals scored in regular season games. Points earned against top four conference finishers, except that if the number of such games is unequal, then points will be divided by the number. I think that wasn't that like the COVID tiebreaker when they were doing points per game, and it was, you know, because teams were playing a different number of games. Yeah. And then last two, number of disciplinary points, so your red cards and yellow cards, fewest points gets a spot there. And if all that is still tied, then it goes to lottery conducted by the league. There are a couple notes here. The first one is if head-to-head is not applicable, skip directly to tiebreaker number four, which is total wins in regular season games. But to me, I still think head-to-head should be secondary to overall performance. That's just me.
Well, also, that benefits us in both cases, but whatever.
Well, that's part of it, too. And then the last one, for the USL Championship final, I guess this would be determined on hosting it. Tiebreaker three is not applicable because you're going to have two teams from different conferences, so you can't count in conference points. It wouldn't be comparable because it's not the same conference.
Yep.
If the teams are level on head to head and goal difference, go directly to number four, which is total wins in regular season games. Yep. So, like, if you have multiple exceptions that say go to overall total wins, maybe just make total wins your first one.
I mean, it seems logical to me, but you know,
follow me for more life hacks.
I mean, this is lower division soccer. You get what you get.
All right, so we talked about Dayon and Lewis possibly picking up some knocks and being subbed off. And honestly, at this point, maybe everything is a precaution because of how many guys are hurt. But we have gotten some guys back. I saw, you know, Forrest Lasso was on the bench for Saturday night at Memphis. I don't think he played against Hartford either. Who else? And I should probably warn you about this before the show. Who else have we seen? We saw Connor back. Connor's a big one.
Dalgard got some minutes.
Yep, Dalgard got in again. He got in both games, didn't he?
Yes.
He got in Memphis when we were down real bad.
Yeah, and
late.
I think he came on late in Hartford. I want to say like 90th or like 85th or something like that in Hartford.
Okay.
It was so very late.
Talking more conditioning and getting him some minutes. By the way, oh man, that Memphis game, they bring Lucky Mkosana on late. And
who damn near scores, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I turned to my new friend. And I say, If there's anyone that can get us like two or three goals in 5 minutes, it's him. He's done it before. I've stood in pretty much the same spot and watched it happen. And then he took a shot, and we found out that we'd actually subbed on unlucky instead of lucky, because right off the post,
yep.
Everyone, I dropped. I was,
And that was a dime. I think it was Connor that dropped that ball to him.
It was beautiful. He scores that. I'm calling it right now. In hindsight, it's 2020. Lucky scores that goal. We end up getting level, I think, before the end of the game. We'll walk out of there with a point.
I like it. It sounds good to me. I'll take it. I'll take that.
Be optimistic.
To be Ted Lasso after that game, just be a goldfish. And the team was. They were goldfish. They forgot all about it and came out and played the best they could.
Be sad together. Don't be sad alone.
That's right. You know, came out together, did well in Hartford. Now we had to come home against Loudoun, which we were talking about points off air beforehand. I mean, like with Memphis and Louisville both at 49 points, if they win out, they'll have 58 points, one point ahead of us. So, and we're talking about resting players, and do we go for first place? Do we not go for first place? Can we catch Pittsburgh? Do we want to stay out at Charleston? Part of me just hates Charleston, and I really just don't want them to – I want them to stay in third place.
Yeah.
But the other part of me is like, I just want to get a home game in the playoffs. Let's rest whoever needs to rest. Let's get whoever needs to be healthy. Let's just win this game against Loudoun. And then who cares? We lock in top three, regardless of the final two games. Who cares?
We got to see what's going to happen Pittsburgh-wise. Because, you know, the Rowdies have been right there with Pittsburgh. And, if we'd gotten the win against Memphis, we would have gone into – because let's – I don't want to say, I don't want to call Loudoun a trap game, but I'm not.
It is. We've done this before. Call what it is. It's a trap game. It is definitely a trap game.
Not calling it a trap game because I'm calling it a trap game. Whatever happens, happening.
Last time we avoided this, it was a trap game. I'm not doing that again.
Anyway, if we're able to pull the win out of here, so just focusing on whether it's possible to catch Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh also has three games left. They are hosting Tulsa this weekend. Tulsa's fighting for that playoff spot. They are 1 point back. They are going to do everything they can to win that game, or at least get a point. If they can draw in that game, that's better than nothing.
And they're not a bad team. They've won some games against top-level talent or top-level teams.
It's not going to be a walk in the park for Pittsburgh, but also Bob Lilly knows that he's going to have them ready. After that this is Pittsburgh's last home game is this weekend against Tulsa. Yeah. Then they're going to come down here. It's going to be hopefully it's going to be an epic match. Like, you know, if something happens this weekend with them and Tulsa, Tulsa gets a win, Tulsa gets a draw, Rowdies might start smelling blood in the water because I'm going to be pretty confident that we can get a win against Loudoun. We win that one and say Pittsburgh draws. Well, now we're 2 points behind, and a win changes everything. After that, then Pittsburgh goes on the road to Detroit. Detroit's currently in eighth place, so they're going to be, you know, still fighting for it. They're not resting guys because they're out of it. They're not, you know, going through the motions because they're out of it. They're in the thick of it. And you talk about whether, you know, you want first seed or second seed. On one hand, you know, whoever wins that first place spot in the East is going to be the regular season champion because over in the Western Conference, Sacramento's got 55 points on 31 games. San Antonio's got 54. Feel fairly confident to say that the regular season champion is going to come out of the East, and it's going to be Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay. But besides all that, like, it'd be nice to add another player shield, second in 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is. But looking at your playoff matchups, and again, they'll be coming to Al Lang, but if we get first place, it's Detroit or Tulsa or maybe Miami. Second place, it's Birmingham. Now, there's a chance. Detroit's only 3 points back of Birmingham. Birmingham's only 2 points back of Indy. There's still some chance for movement, but most likely situation, that's what you're going to see. Birmingham, we know, is going to be a tough game.
Yep.
Enzo Martinez likes to play against the Rowdies. I particularly, if I had to pick one of these, give me Detroit, Tulsa, or Miami over Birmingham any day of the week.
I'm with you.
Would be my preference. So, you know, trophies aside and you know, all that kind of stuff aside, putting yourself in the best possible position when it comes to the playoffs is the but also we seriously have to be concerned about more injuries.
Yep.
We don't have that many players left. The roster freeze has been in. Oh, and I was talking to Cundiff about this, and I still we'd have to get clarification. I'm not sure how it would work, and it doesn't matter now. It's a moot point, but it's just an interesting thought exercise. Even if they had brought Leo back, even if it was possible, and I don't know how the injured reserve, injured list rules work off the top of my head, Cundiff said there's something about you have to have played in at least 5 games, regular season games, to qualify for the playoff roster. Now, Leo having already been a signed player on the roster, don't know if that applies to him or if that's just for signing somebody before the roster freeze. Someone who listens to this probably down at Al Lang will have the information for us. And again, it doesn't matter. It's not something that's going to happen. But I'm just curious how that would have worked in the rules that would apply to that situation.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I'm going to reach out to my contacts and just see, because I mean, he was warming up before the game. Like a lot of the guys that are coming back off of injury do. They do their warm up on that little half field behind midfield.
Yeah. Someone came to the stadium, told me that he and Lasso were out there warming up, and that maybe we'd see Lasso back. And I said, well, we'll see. I didn't think we were going to, and we ended up not, which not a big surprise. So,
hey, Rowdy's FO, be expecting a text message from me in the morning. I'll be reaching out. I want to know. I want Leo back. Damn it!
You're probably going to get the text off before I get the episode posted anyway. No, I'll put this out there Friday morning.
There you go.
We'll get it going. So, all right, injuries. Oh God, please no more. Nikki Law is back.
Yep,
Nikki Law is back. So I was told Saturday. Got a message that they were going to announce that that Dobson was still in charge for that match, but that the paperwork had been finalized. Literally, from what I was told, it was just waiting on the British mail. And I don't know if it's because they had to switch stamps over from the Queen to the King, whatever it was, but it literally was waiting on the mail to arrive with the documents.
Thanks for dragging your feet, Majesty.
Yeah, so got that all taken care of. Was back, was on the sideline at Hartford last night, and that was cool to see.
Yeah, it's good to have the gaffer back.
Yeah, absolutely. Other kind of cool news that popped up, and it's this must have come together pretty quick, because I don't remember hearing about it before, like yesterday afternoon, but the Rowdies posted that recently retired from active football, 37-year-old Asamoah Gyan, the all-time leading scorer for the Ghanaian national team. If you've watched the U.S. in the World Cup, you have cursed this guy before, because he has scored, I think, 4 goals in 3 World Cup matches against the U.S. Was hosting a kids clinic at Al Lang last night. Was it Al Lang or was it the training center? I think it was Al Lang.
It was a training facility.
Training facility, okay. With Leo Fernandez, I believe Jake Ehrman was there too. And then they announced today that he will be at the game on Saturday signing autographs. Looks like they have like a special, almost like a baseball card made up for him. Signing autographs in the midfield area, I believe from like 6:15 to 7:30, like right before kickoff. So that's kind of cool. I don't know how this all came together, how these two got together. I'm going to assume maybe some connection through, because Lucky's Ghanaian too, isn't he? Where he was from?
He's from Zimbabwe.
No, yeah, Zimbabwe's. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the connection there was.
But we have players that have contacts all throughout Europe and soccer, and then the Rowdies do as well in general.
Freddie Adu was Ghanaian, wasn't he? Or he had Ghanaian heritage? Man, he's still working behind the scenes. Is Freddie Adu a scout for the Rowdies now? Like, what's going on?
He's still young. He can still play too, right?
Hey, anybody at this point, anybody that can make it through 3 or 4 games, we're fine. So that's kind of cool. It's got some coverage in Ghanaian news. I saw it on the USL site. So, it was pretty cool. I think I saw some local news posting. They were going to be talking to him about all that going on. And yeah, that's kind of cool. Like that's a nice thing to do. Probably a player that none of those little kids know, but maybe their parents did, maybe, whatever, but that be able to bring guys in like that for opportunities is kind of cool. So, Happy yeah, to see
I
that
saw,
happen.
I saw Jay Redger from 620 was out there interviewing him. Right. Some other
yeah, people were covering
it. So, I mean, yeah, it was good. It was good coverage for the team and just good for those, you know, those young players to get exposure to somebody who's, you know, who's played world football at the highest level. So, yeah, it's really cool. I'm glad to see the Rowdies doing stuff like this. I don't know how it all came together, but, you know, kudos to the Rowdies FO for pulling this all together.
So, like I said, we'll be there at half, or I mean, pregame before this weekend's game with Loudoun. So let's get to our Loudoun preview. Loudoun sucks. They yeah, suck out Loudoun.
They play.
I feel bad.
Got me on that one.
I feel bad. Like, you know, they're trying. I appreciate how they're trying to go their way independent from DC United like they were in the past and kind of build their own thing. They have not had a good season. None of them are going to argue otherwise. Look, if we could beat Hartford 2-0 on two own goals in their house last night, I feel fairly confident that we can beat a similarly bad Loudoun United team this weekend with whatever 11 we're out there. And I'm just jinxing it all right now by just piling on. Like
this. I said, Matt, I know you don't want to hear it. It's a trap game. Look, this team is not terrible. They 2-1 against Louisville in their last game, 2-2 against Charleston, 3-1 they lost to Pittsburgh, 2-1 Indy lost, 3-1. So, I mean, so like, look, they've lost some, but they look, if they want to compete, they can compete, and they can compete against top teams. So, you know, these are still soccer players that are trying to play for contracts for next year,
absolutely,
so they're trying to make a name for themselves. And at this point, the only thing they have to play for is that opportunity to show their skills and hope to get picked up next year.
And honestly, now someone needs to let them know Neil Collins is no longer here. So coming in and having a great game and possibly scoring a goal against the Rowdies is not your ticket to getting signed by the Rowdies in the future. It's worked for players in the past, and it's turned out working for us when we signed them. Don't know Nicky Law's philosophy, but maybe don't go out and try to have the game of your career against Tampa Bay this weekend. That's all I'm asking.
Please
Loudoun
don't.
With your negative 20 goal difference, and you've scored as many goals as Hartford, but you've conceded about 15 less. I just go right to the predictions. What are we going to see on Saturday?
Look, I'm going. And
I don't know who we're going to see on Saturday, but best case scenario.
I'm Mitch, my man. 4-1 to the lads.
Going 4-1 to the lads.
And I'm even going to give you, my friend, we're going to give Cal Jennings the two goals.
Okay. I feel like Loudon's going to get a goal. It feels like one of those games where Loudoun gets one in like the 18th minute and then the Rowdies pile a bunch on later. It's almost like watching a Liverpool game these days where they, you know, play well, concede early, play like crap, score three goals and win. Yeah. Like you just saw in the Carabao Cup against Leicester.
Leicester, yep.
And three just worldies, too.
Beautiful.
I'm going to go 3-1. I'm going to go 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think
healthy players score four goals at this point.
Hey, you know what? Say, this could be.
I'll go 2 for Cal and 1 for JJ.
There you go. Okay, I like that. I mean, shoot, we could even go good fancy here and be like, give one to Lucky.
I was going to say maybe a late Ariel Martinez goal when the game's already decided.
Well, I think we're going to see him play this game anyways with Lewis. I think he played safe. And since he was the one that subbed on for Lewis, I think that's a natural fit in there. I wish you could put Jake Ehrman back at the left mid, and I wish, but we just don't know how Aaron Guillen's doing. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's such a tough call.
Hopefully, and then, you know, the next two games after this one are pretty tough. It's home against Pittsburgh, and it's on the road against Louisville. If we're going to have some of these guys like Guillen and so forth back for the playoffs, they're going to need to get in and get some stamina and get some game time in. And it's probably better to do it in a game against Loudoun than it is in a game against Pittsburgh or a game against Louisville. Close out the season. I don't know. It is also bring your dog to the game. And they've got what they call it, Bark in the Park. I always wanted to call it. I don't have a little button for a B. I was going to call it something that rhymes with pitch on the pitch.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. Hey, let's not forget pregame people. Yes. There is a pub crawl with the one and only rowdy, great, all-around awesome Mr. Tampa Bay, Jeff Antonella.
So I was thinking because, you know, at the Rays game, and they were showing the highlights on the video board about, you know, the moments that are captured in these statues of Aki Uemura and Evan Longoria. And it seemed more about, like, they're great players. Longoria might, you know, be Mr. Ray for a lot of people, and I wouldn't argue with that. But it seems like the statues were more about the moments than the players. It's Uemura getting the last out in the ALCS Game 7 to send the Rays to the World Series. It's Longo's walk-off game-winning home run in 162. If you're going to put a statue in a similar mindset outside Al Lang, Antonella's got to be one of the first.
Yeah.
You know, saving goals in the 2012 Soccer Bowl is just – if you were at that game, you will never forget it. And if you weren't, there's some pretty good videos on YouTube of Antonella saving. It was like 3 out of 5 goals. I think only one was just a complete miss. The other two were like he saved them and won the championship for Tampa Bay. And that was a year where he came in off the bench kind of untested because Daryl Sattler had gotten hurt and was out for the season. And all of a sudden we were playing with this young guy who turned out to be pretty damn good.
So, yeah, had himself a pretty hell of a career.
Yeah, you know, get your dog. Jeff would like to see your dog, I'm sure. Take your dog to the bars. I'm sure they'll let you hang out up front and get a drink. Go to the stadium. I don't believe I'm going to be there. Things could happen and the you know, events could conspire in a positive direction, as they have in lots of areas of my life lately, besides air conditioning, and could result in it. But I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be at this one. I will be there for Pittsburgh. I will be there. I'm just going to say this now because we're talking about this at the tailgate. I will be there for Pittsburgh. I will be there in a kilt for Pittsburgh.
Ooh, okay.
I might even just to really clash really bad and see how strong this new friend relationship is. I might just even throw on the coat I wore for the preppy tailgate and throw that on with the kilt and just look horrible and see what happens.
Yeah, I too, I am trying to make this game. As I stated at the beginning of the show, I have got some personal things that are going on that I have to tend to, some adulting that needs to be handled. So I don't know that I will be able to make it. I'm definitely going to try. I'm not working the game, so I'd like to be able to go and be as a fan and stand up, you know, get up in those midfield stands and watch for my favorite spot. But we will see. I've got things I have to handle.
If I can't, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be at Shamrock watching.
Okay. Yeah, if not, I will be watching from my phone.
Because where my daughter's going to be, it's a very close spot, and the party ends kind of roughly after the game ends. So I think that's a good spot for me to go.
How are those home games there at the Shamrock? Even when the team's home, how is the turnout there? Pretty good.
I've never gone to a home game watch party before.
Interesting. I kind of think it's pretty good. I mean, it's essentially a soccer bar at this point. No.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a full on soccer bar. I've been there once. I had a blast.
Yeah. Oh, it's completely a soccer. Like if that game's on, that's the game that's on the big screen that has sound.
Nice. Okay.
So. Maybe they'll have some college football on some of the other screens or whatever, but that will be the focal point. I think I'm going to end up being there for that. So if you're in the area and can't make it over there to Al Lang, come on over and buy me a beer or two because I just had to spend a couple $1,000 on air conditioning. Fun.
Adulting. Fun, 80 grand.
But it's Florida and you have to do it. All right. Ben, let's wrap this up and get out of here. I have to go do some other things too. Highly doubtful we're going to see anybody or each other at Al Lang this weekend, but we will be there next weekend for Pittsburgh. So yes. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Let's get 3 points. Let's burn a lot of smoke bombs and let's celebrate.
Damn right. Let's burn up the reserve, man. I want to run out this game. Let's go.
Heck yes. All right. Talk to you guys next week. Come on, you rowdies.
Come on, you rowdies.
The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there.